Oh, sorry.
Hallelujah.
Get my Bible.
God is good. Amen. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Wait on the Lord for a moment here. Father God, I just thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness to all of us. Holy Spirit, how much you love us. How much you run before us in our lives to take care of us. Lord, I just thank you. Holy Spirit, I just invite your presence, Lord. Father God, you know every need today. Lord, you know every desire in every heart. Father God, people asking you questions and feel that there is no hope and must have some kind of direction, Lord God, even to go forward. I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that somehow in this message today that you would speak to every heart and every life. That Holy Spirit, we just want you to be glorified in our lives. Holy Spirit, that you are seen. Holy Spirit, we just thank you. And I just ask you, Holy Spirit, for your presence right now, Lord God, just to fill every vessel, Lord. Just fill every vessel, Holy Spirit, that you just rise up in your holy presence, Lord God, and bring fresh oil, Father God, into their lives. That, Lord, they are overflowing, Father God, with your presence and your goodness. Lord, you are so good. And, Lord, I am so hungry for your presence, Lord. So wonderful, God, that you are. You are so mighty, wonderful, King of kings and Lord of lords. And Lord, we just glorify your holy name. And know, Father God, that you are present, Father God, that you are here in the midst of us, Lord. You said, I am the river of life. And all who are thirsty that come to me will not thirst. I am the one that will satisfy your longings and your souls. I am the one that will fill you. I am the one that will clothe you. I am the one that will feed you that you shall not want. I am the one that shall bring you rest in your time of trouble. I am the one that shall heal you of all of your wounds and all of your diseases. I am the one that will keep you through the hard times and the good times. I am the one that will see about you when no one else sees about you. I am the one that will never forget you, and I will never leave you. I am the one that will keep you always present with me. I am the one that shall hold you up when no one else will hold you. I am the one that you can run to in every time of need, that nothing be lacking in your life. For I'm the Lord thy God that speaketh to you in your spirit and in your heart. And if you hearken to what I say and are quickened by your spirit, so shall I deliver you from the snares of the devil. So shall I deliver you if you hearken to my words and obey what I say to you. For I said, truly, revival shall come here. And I have said it over and over so many times to man's heart and ears. And I say again, my word is true. It will not return to me void or empty, but it will accomplish the purposes that I have placed it and placed it in the body. And I say, this church shall live, so shall this city have revival many times over. I say, I am the oil and the wine, and I bring life uncompromisingly to everyone. And I say, I will not fail you in this time of need, but I always have your back, and I always make preparation before you arrive to that destination of need. And I will see you through, and they will come, and the river will rise, and my presence will flow, and you will have souls added to the kingdom for my namesake. I will not fail you, says the Spirit of the Lord. Father God, you are a mighty wind. Father God, you are a mighty fortress. You are our strong tower and our stronghold. And we find rest, Father God, to run into your holy presence. That God, there is nothing lacking, Father God, when we search for you. There is nothing lacking, Father God, when we find you in our midst. That, Father God, you satisfy the longing soul that has longed for a long time to be satisfied. And Lord, we are all empty without your presence. And Father God, we are never satisfied if we do not have that relationship with you that we long for. Because you are the one that we long for. You are the one that we do not always know. But Lord, when you make yourself known, we experience life everlasting. And Father, I am so grateful for life everlasting. That Lord God, you bring an impartation into our lives that moves us in the direction of your leading. That Father God, we go forth and we are not going backwards. We do not live in yesterday's land, Lord God, but we live in today. And Father God, we are moving into destiny, Father God, because there is a future that lies ahead. And nothing will keep us from that future if we continue to move. Father God, you hearken us by your Spirit that we should obey. That, Father God, we are no longer children, but we are adults. That, Father God, we have grown up. And, Father God, we have put away childish things that we might hearken unto the Spirit of the living God in our lives. That we don't have to just be babied and have just the milk, but, Lord, we can take the strong meat of your word and the leading of your Spirit that we might go forth and not contend with you anymore. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you are righteous and just and holy. And I thank you, Father God, that you have been merciful to a generation, Father God, that has tried to keep babyhood alive for a long time. I thank you, Father God, that you are on fire for your people to step up to a place of just obedience, Lord God. That they just hear your word and obey. That, Father God, they don't question it or ask you to come and remind them of it, but that they just know you said it already in your word and it hasn't changed. I pray, Holy Spirit, today that you would be that mighty wind in every life and that, Father God, you would bring restoration in such a way, Father God, that it would be revivalizing to them that they are revived for sure. That, Father God, you said lots of things to everyone in this house many times over, but yet have they hearkened to obedience. And, Father God, I decree it this day in the Spirit of the Lord that whatsoever you have asked of them, Father God, that they should obey you. And that, Father God, they would not ask you again to show them. Holy Spirit, I call it forth in the name of Jesus Christ that, Father God, you have a day. And, Lord God, that day is here, Father God. Today, Lord God, it's our decision to follow you in obedience in every direction. You are faithful. Before the foundation of the world, Lord God, you decreed all mankind that would come upon this earth and live. Father God, you knew the plans that you had for every life, way beyond their days. Even the days that would come, Lord God, that they would go to the grave and see you face to face, you already knew. And Father God, in the midst of life and time and space, Father God, you have much. And Lord God, we are your mouthpieces. And Lord God, we are the preachers. Lord, we are the teachers. We are the leaders, Father God. We are those who save souls for the kingdom, Father God, that we would be wise. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that we have life because you give us that life. I thank you, Father God, that you satisfy our longings in every area of our life because we search for you. And there is nothing lacking in your presence, Father God, for your holy presence is so filling, Lord God. And God, when we sit in the midst of your presence, Lord God, that tangible presence that we can literally feel upon our lives, Lord God, we do not want you to move. God, we want you to stay. God, do not remove your presence from us, Lord God, because how can we live without your presence? Oh, Father God, it is better to dwell in the house of the Lord, to dwell in men of evil tents and evil places. It's better to come to the house of the Lord. It's better to honor the temple of God that he has given you, that you would be full of the Holy Spirit in life. It is better to have the mind of Christ and the heart of God than to seek out evil and evil doings. It is better to know what God has purposed and intended for your life over and over and over and repeatedly over and over again than to deny the truth that he is Lord. God is so wonderful, and he has clothed you in his righteousness. He has enabled you to have life. He has been merciful to you over and over and over. He has forgiven you every time you have sought his face. He has forgiven you over and over and over. He is always merciful. His blood covers you. His Holy Spirit fills you with a deep presence that you would live and have a greater life. God is faithful, He has not failed you. He has not turned his back on you. He has a direction for you. And you already know in your spirit the direction of the Lord. You already know what he has spoken over and over and over. You know that he says, hearken. And I say hearken again. Because God in these days, he's speaking once to us, not over and over. Because he says we are adults and we are no longer children. And we must put away that childish behavior of saying, tell me again, is it really you? Tell me again, is it really you? And he says, I've already told you. I've already told you. And you already know what he has said to you. God is so faithful. God is so faithful. You shall inherit the land. Will you hear that word in your spirit? How will you inherit the land? Because you are faithful to the one who called you. You will inherit the land because God wants you to save souls for his kingdom, that the kingdom would be full because of your faithfulness in loving him. Because see, when you love the Lord, you shine like a light. You see, when you're on fire for God, men are drawn to you, that you might bring forth the testimony of Jesus Christ to them, that they might have eternal life. See, you want to be that light. I want to be that light. I don't want to be hidden. I want to be in the world, in an area that men can say, wow, something's different about you, that I might be able to lead a lost soul to the kingdom. His faithfulness to Jesus and the call and the commission of God to save souls for the kingdom. That God has called us that we might save souls. God is good. You know, people wait sometimes for a long time to do something for the Lord because they feel that God does not provide. They do not have the means of provision to do something. So they wait and they wait and they never do anything because, well, God didn't bring the money or God didn't take care of whatever they had need of, they thought. You know, God moves in the way that he chooses, but if he directs our lives to do something, we must obey without any means. And as we go forth in any means, he is faithful to come through. It is not an easy thing in our flesh and in my flesh when God calls on me or puts something in my heart in a direction and I say, oh Lord, you're going to do it again. And sometimes I want to refuse to answer him when he opens a door because there is no means of going. There is no way I can go. I remember when I went to Israel, I did not have means to go to Israel. I got to minister in some Ghana churches in Israel, and I did not have means to go to Israel. But one of the ladies that was going to go on the trip, she gave up going so I could go. So I took her ticket, I took her money, and I went to Israel because God made a way because he called me to go to Israel. I did not provide for that trip in one way. I didn't have money for one thing. I didn't have any money for one thing. I ate in the hotel, and I took money. I took food off of the buffet area, like bread with me in the daytime to eat on. And I didn't have any finances, but I got to see souls won to the kingdom because God opened the door. When I went to India last year, I didn't have money to go to India. God paid for those tickets through airline miles, through a couple that offered them to me. That door was opened up through the internet on my website, and many people had invited me into India. And God said, when this one pastor invited me, he said, him, you're going to his church. And you know, you have to trust God to go into a foreign country. You don't know anybody, and you're not taking a team of people with you. And you have to know it's God in your spirit to obey him. And God took care of it. And once everything was like resolved, a little, you know, I had to agree for a date to start with because nothing would come. And I didn't want to agree because I thought, Lord, you know, this is going to look really bad if you do not show up if I make this date. And everybody that knew me said, you know, Shirley, you know how God is with you. He never provides you a penny until you say okay and make the date. So I said, Pastor, you make the date, and then I'll come to India. So he set the date, and then I was in fear and trembling. God provided the first money for the passport, and God provided the money for the visa. And then I went and preached in Arizona for a while, and while I was there, a couple offered their airline miles for me and Margaret, a lady that ministers with me, to go to India. The couple had over 300,000 airline miles. You know, God did that. God opened up that door miraculously because I said, okay. And some of you today are not listening to that. When you take the first step and say, okay, then he shows up. But it's like being in front of a swimming pool that's empty. And God says, when you jump off, fill it. And you go, well, God, you didn't fill it. He says, well, you didn't jump. You know, and that's how it is sometimes, that we actually have to say, okay, I'm going to the airport without the ticket. You know, that you're going to provide it because you called me to do this and you said for me to do this and I believe it. You know, and that's how we should be. If I believe he said it, then I should do it. 200 people for sure got saved there. It was so awesome. It was a very poverty area that I went to, a couple of villages. The churches were dirt floors and dirt floors in the houses and true poverty. But they were so hungry for the Spirit of God. They were so hungry for the Holy Spirit. I mean, they were hungry. And the pastors already invited me to come back. And I'm like, I haven't agreed to it yet. But yesterday when I was ministering here at the church for the first time, God said, you just say, you know, if you have a designated offering for my missions ministry for me to go out of the country, just put on their missions. And God sowed seeds yesterday. You know, God has a plan for your life, and you have to aim yourself in that direction to see that fulfilled. You have to go in that direction. If I never moved and I just stayed in one place and God's saying move, then I'm not going to see the word of God fulfilled in my life. And it doesn't mean you're always happy or comfortable, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. And there's a big difference. Because being happy is momentarily, you know, for the moment. But joy in your spirit from God is everlasting. And nobody can remove that. So when you go through the trials and you launch yourself out and you say, okay, Lord, then you have to know he's going to come through because he's God. He's not going to lie to you if he's directing you to do something. He's not going to be unfaithful. God said, I am the river of life. That's what he said. When I was sitting there during the worship time, the Lord was reminding me of a lot of things that the church had went through when I was here years ago. And the Lord said, I am faithful. I am faithful. You know, I am faithful to those who wait. I am faithful to those who believe and continue to wait. And God is moving. And maybe it's not the way you want him to move, but I assure you, he is moving. You know, sometimes you're looking for something, but don't look. Just know. You know in your own heart, God is doing something. I feel that I have ministered this word that I'm going to minister today forever for a very long time. I'm going to talk about forgiveness. I said, Lord, do I need it? Over and over and over so much that, you know, I must keep preaching it. Do you ever think about that sometimes when you're preaching a message over and over? Is this really for me, God? Because, you know, I'm wondering about that, Lord. You know, God is faithful in whatever we need to have a love walk. That we have to have a love walk. We have to love. We have to forgive and we have to love one another. God says that we would be known that we are his disciples because we have love one for another. And we have to have love to be able to be a pure vessel or a holy vessel. Be who Jesus wants us to be. And sometimes when we have unforgiveness in our lives or hurts and wounds, it's kind of hard to love everybody. So God looks at our lives all the time, and I find that, you know, my struggle with constantly having to forgive someone has to do with my oldest son, and I will say that so you can pray. Help me get through my little situation with my oldest son and his wife, that they keep me from seeing my grandchildren. And I wonder sometimes, what is that control about? You know, what is that, Lord? But daily, I have to say, God, I forgive them and love them and trust the Lord that He will bring it to pass, that it will work out. And it won't happen if I get angry. It won't happen if I get bitter. It won't happen if I push the door and demand my way. It will happen through forgiveness and me loving them. So you can pray for my son and my daughter-in-law that God will bring restoration in the relationship. I have no idea, and that is the truth with all my heart, why it's that way. If you have a Bible, would you open it to Matthew chapter 18? Beginning in verse 21. Now, I believe that this word is for someone here, not just for myself. And I ask that you would give the Holy Spirit permission, that if there's something in this word that's for you, that He would be able to bring that to your heart, to bring it to your life, that you would be able to come out of unforgiveness. Then came Peter to him in verse 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and forgive him? And I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. And I think my commentary says $290,850. I think there's a lot of different prices over the years I've heard preachers preach. But that's a big amount. But for as much as he had not to pay, he didn't have the money to pay it, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and looked on him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owest. And it was about $10. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt, because you wanted me to, you desired it. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth, or angry, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. In my commentary, one behaving in this manner falls into condemnation of the lost. True forgiveness from the heart of a regenerated man is one of the signs of genuine salvation and conversion. Saved people are both forgiven and forgiving. Unforgiving people prove that they have never been born of God. Now, God is looking at our character all the time. And unforgiveness is keeping something in your life that God wants you to let go of. I'm a sinner, and I have done terrible things. And I have went to God and begged him for mercy and said, please forgive me, Lord, have mercy on me. And he does. He forgives me. And he makes it well. And I go out and I do it again, or I do something else wrong, or I think bad thoughts, or I say things I shouldn't say, and I hurt people, and I say, oh, God, forgive me, have mercy on me. And he does. And then when someone comes to you and says, oh, have mercy on me, and you go, no, I don't want to. What you did to me was terribly bad. And God goes, why can't you forgive them? I have forgiven you. Why can't you forgive them for what they have done to you? Because I have forgiven you. And God looks at your life all the time and says, it works both ways. If you want me to forgive you, then you have to forgive also. And he is faithful to his word. In Matthew 5, 44, 45. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Mark 11, 25, 26. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. Matthew 6, 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Romans 12, 20. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. Luke 6, 35 through 38. But love you your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be you therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. You know, there's an area of taking on someone's offense that I have found in ministry for me when I'm doing deliverance ministry or dealing with a situation that somebody has been terribly hurt as a child and the abuse has brought them into an area that they cannot grow up in. And I'm talking all kinds of hurts in children. I mean, you know, I was beaten really bad as a child, and I was molested one time as a child. And so I deal with people, you know, kind of, you know, God brings you where you've come from, where you've been. And you realize, you know, as you have forgiven the one that hurt you and you grow up, life changes once you've really forgiven that person. But sometimes when I hear stories from what people have went through in their childhood, because I've heard stories like somebody being molested continually from age 7 through 11, every night. My sister had polio when she was 10 years old. At that stage of her life, she had to be put in a hospital for about 18 months, and every night she was molested by the orderly. You know, how do you forgive things like that? You know, things that are terribly wronged that child didn't have any control over. And the Lord spoke to me during one of the sessions that I was praying over somebody and said, don't take on the offense. Don't start getting mad at the person that hurt this person. Because you will get off track and you will not stay on the assignment to bring healing to this person for me. And I thought, yeah, but it's so unjust. It's so wrong. I mean, you know, I could feel everything rise up sometimes, just everything. I don't want to do this, Lord, I tell God. I don't want to do this ministry, Lord. You know, it's really painful to have to sense what everybody goes through, and everybody hurts, and everybody's wounded, and nobody's okay, and everybody's messed up. You know, God, it's really painful to hear all their stories and feel all of that, trying to make sure they're going to get healed, Holy Spirit. You know, I sometimes want to say, merciful God, you know, really? But he commissioned us to cast out devils. He commissioned us to bring healing to the body in every area, mentally, physically, spiritually. He didn't commission us just to sit and do nothing about things when they're wrong. He commissioned us to do things so that it could be right. And when we get hurt, we want to take on those offenses in life, and it causes unforgiveness. How can I forgive you? You hurt me so terribly bad. How can I? And you have to look at your life and say, but God has been merciful to me. And what if that person that has hurt you so terribly bad gets saved? They're going to be in heaven with you. But you might not make it to heaven if you haven't forgiven them. The Bible says that we have to forgive to be forgiven, for us to be forgiven on our part. So let's say today you've got some unforgiveness in your heart and Jesus shows up. What do you think is going to happen? And I have to put that in my spirit all the time. You know, when I start to get upset or hurt, I have to push that away. I'm not taking that offense. I'm not taking that rejection. I'm not taking that pain. I'm not taking how you're treating me. I choose to not take it. I choose to stay whole. I choose to stay happy. And you want to fly these little darts at me? Anybody fly darts at you just to egg you on, try to get you mad? Anybody? You know, anybody suffer like that with people? And you just got to keep pulling the darts out and stomping on them. Say, I ain't taking that. You know, sometimes I've realized in people that are hurt, they just hurt other people. You know, they're so hurt, they're just wanting to hurt you. But you're the one that has to say, I don't want that. I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset with you. Those are your issues. And when we can recognize that we don't always have to take on everybody's problems and everybody's stuff, wow, there's a real freeing in that. I mean, there is real healing in just knowing I'm not the one with the problem. Keep your problem. You know, I forgive you, and I'm going to be happy. You know, I'm going to have the joy of the Lord and continue to go forth. Well, how do I forgive when it's so bad? Well, I don't know. But you have to think about, you know, when you judge, you shall be judged. And when you judge that person for what they've done, the Bible says with the same measure that you judge, it shall be added back to you again. And I don't care how bad they were. If you cannot forgive them, that same judgment that you have looked at their life with will be coming back on you. And if I say to you that this floor down here represents the place of judgment, where the tormentors have power over you because of unforgiveness, that's, you know, sad. I've been there before, tortured by the tormentors. Or I could say that this place up here represents mercy and grace from God, that when we say, God, forgive me, he does. And this is a good place because I'm protected under the presence and the power of the Almighty. And he sees about my life and he takes care of me because I have forgiven. I'm not upset. I'm not wounded. It's good with my soul. But, oh, yeah, don't you remember what they did? Oh, yeah, it was pretty bad. Well, you know, you really should just think about that for a little while because, you know, you just let that go a little bit too soon. Well, I don't know. You know, mercy and grace is really nice. But you're right. You're right. I think it was pretty bad. I think it was really pretty bad. You know, they really shouldn't have did what they did. That was really ugly. I can't believe they treated me that way. I can't believe. And then you're right back down here in judgment, and you walked out of the grace and mercy, and God's going, what are you doing down there? You know, what are you doing down there? I thought we settled that. And that's what the enemy does to your mind. The enemy is not going to leave you alone. You say, I forgive, and you get up here really fast. Oh, yeah, that was good. I forgave. And the person comes across your path, and when you see them, you go, I'm really mad. I really haven't forgiven. Or you go in a grocery store and they show up and you see them and you're, oh my God. And you start going the other way. Oh, I hope they didn't see me. Or you look at your caller ID and you go, I don't want to talk to them. I mean, really? You know, judgment is serious when you're upset with somebody. And God's going, I'm up here waiting for you to return. you know, I'd really like you to return back up here because that anger is not getting you anywhere. You know, being upset and not dealing with it just keeps you in a place of bondage and unhappiness. Unresolved feelings, unresolved emotions. That you're just miserable. And it just weighs on you. And it doesn't go away. It just weighs on you. And you think about it over and over and over and over. Oh, I can't think about that anymore. No, it's okay. Praise God. Lord, you're awesome. Lord, you're beautiful. Oh, my God. I just can't believe what they did. Oh, God, I want to walk away from it, Lord. I really want to forgive God. Oh, my God, I just can't believe what they did. Oh, my God, they were ugly to me. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it is continuous when you are in a place of bondage that somebody has hurt you and wounded you, and you're going, really? How do I forgive them? Because it's a gift. And it's a gift that they don't deserve. And it's the same gift that Jesus Christ gave you when you said, Jesus, come into my heart. It's the same gift that Jesus Christ gave you when you said, forgive me. The same gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. But he gave you the gift of forgiveness because he wants you to be well. And when you're holding someone in bondage, it's tearing you up. They've gone on with their life. They're moving on. They don't even give you another thought. And they're moving on. And you're still standing down here in judgment. I'm so mad at you. I can't believe what you did. And they've gone on. And what forgiveness does is set you free. And then you get to go on with your life too. And maybe they won't change. And maybe the situation won't change. But you'll be at peace. Now what about all that judgment that you sowed? You know, what about all the things that you said? And now, just because you forgive doesn't mean you might not reap the consequences. Because sometimes even when we forgive, we reap consequences of what we have done. Sometimes we reap consequences of judging in such a way that it comes back on us, even when we're okay. I can remember judging my mother for many things. And I can assure you, when I became a mother, I reaped so much of the judgment I placed on her. And I can remember saying, God, forgive me for all that, but I still suffered in some ways with my kids in some areas. And then you've got to understand that when you're a Christian, God warns you ahead of time, every time, before you make a mistake. And he says he will always show you a way out so you don't have to make mistakes. But when you choose not to take the way out, you might suffer the consequences of those mistakes you make. You know, judgment is like I'm sowing my thoughts of evil and accusing this person of something they've actually done. But because I can't forgive them, it's going to come back on me. Now, can I walk in love and mercy and grace when it's coming back on me? Can I stay in forgiveness when I'm seeing that I'm reaping the very thing that I said I would never do because they hurt me so bad, because they hurt you so bad, and you're like, I'll never do that? And it's better just to look at a situation and say, you know what, I'm not taking that on in my life. I'm not going to let you do that to me. I'm not going to let you make me feel that way because I choose to let that go. 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 And sometimes the closest people to you are the people that hurt you the most. And you're the one that has to look and say, I choose to let that go. I'm not going to take that on my life today. I don't know, you know, where you're at in relationships with anybody, but I can tell you that God has been teaching me over and over and over daily. I forgive. And if I see you, I can get in your face and look in your eyes and go, really, I love you. I'm not mad. And that's what you've got to ask yourself. Can I get in those people's face, in their eyes, and say, I love you, and I'm not mad? Can I do that and not run away? Can I do that and face them? Can I get on the phone and talk to them and not be angry at them? God wants you to have that kind of heart, whether they have that kind of heart toward you. You can't make people love you. You can't make people do right. You can't make your children obey you. You can't make that happen when they're of age. Now, before they, you know, hit that age, yes, they should obey you. But once they've moved on with their lives, you can't make them love you anymore or walk with you. You can't. Everybody has a will. And you're going, but Jesus, you know, I'm praying. Change these people's hearts. Change that person's heart. And God's going, I can't make them. They have a will. And just like when Jesus has wanted you to do something and you said, I have a will. I don't want to do that. And you disobey. God just wants you to be free today. Free in the spirit. That what you have sown, you can say, Father God, I forgive. I forgive those who have hurt me. I forgive those who have wounded me. I forgive those who have come against my life. And I place the cross of Jesus Christ between me and that law of sowing and reaping judgment. And today I want to get back up there with grace and mercy. And I want to walk with you in that peace, Lord God, that only you can bring me. And I don't want to stay down here and be angry and upset anymore. Because you can carry that anger and that unforgiveness out for the rest of your life if you choose. But it will destroy you. It's much easier just to give the gift that's not deserved and say, I forgive you. And leave it up to God to settle it. Leave it up to God to take care of it. And I tell you, you can move on with your life in a way that if you see those people or they come around you or you think about them, there won't be that hurt anymore. And that's what God wants. He wants you to be able to think about them, or if you've seen them face to face, you're okay. That's how you know you're in mercy and grace and you're in the right place. Amen. Can I get you to bow your heads? Father God, I ask that you search the congregation, Lord. If one of you want to go play the piano, go right ahead. Father God, I ask that you search this congregation. I ask, Father God, that you search every heart, that, Lord, if there's anything in them, that you would bring it to the surface and that they would give you permission. Maybe they've taken an offense. Maybe they've heard some rumors. Maybe they've heard some bad stuff going on, and they've judged because of the rumors. They don't even know actual facts. But because so-and-so said, they've made judgments. And now they're hurt and wounded by people, and they don't even know why. The people didn't even really hurt them. But the people might have hurt somebody they know and somebody they love. And Holy Spirit, I pray now that every person in this room would ask you, am I holding unforgiveness towards someone? Am I hurt and wounded by someone? Have I judged people? And am I still in that place of judgment that I don't want to have fellowship with them? I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to see them face to face. I don't want to walk in that road with them anymore, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would search every heart. Search my heart, Lord. And Father God, I pray that today, Lord God, that we would be able, Father God, to be merciful and forgive as you have forgiven. That, Father God, we could walk in your grace and your love as you have given us your grace and pour out continually your love to us. Maybe today you need prayer to get through it. If you need prayer, just come down here to the front if you feel like I can't get through this without prayer. And Pastor and myself and maybe somebody else will come down and pray with you. If you feel like there's something going on and you just can't resolve it, that you really need some help from the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit can do the impossible in our lives when we can't. And He can bring us to that place of inner healing when we've been destroyed. So listen to the Holy Spirit right now. Do you need to come down and get prayer? Anybody? Anybody need to come? Just come down and stand here. Just come down and stand. Anybody else? Any anybody else, you just know that there's some area of your life and you're bleeding inside because you're hurt and you're wounded and you need somebody to help you, to just pray with you and agree with you that you can get through the hurt and the pain. You know, the Holy Spirit is faithful. He's faithful to touch your life and to bring that inner healing that you have need of. Father God, I ask that you would remove every pain, every hurt. And Father God, that you would touch every life. And that, Father God, that you would go deep, deep down, Father God, into every area and every person in this congregation. Father God, that you are the searcher of the heart of man. And that, God, I believe you to bring healing and restoration to everyone in this body. That, Lord, there is nothing lacking. So, Holy Spirit, by your holy presence, Father God, we thank you that you enable us, Lord God, to come out of our pain now. That, God, we confess with our mouth, Lord, it's hard. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to let it go. But I give you permission right now to help me to let it go. I give you permission, Jesus, to take this pain out of me so that I can be healed. I give you my heart right now, Jesus, that you would pull out every dart that was aimed at me in destruction, that I would have life now, that I will not suffer anymore from this hurt, from the unjust thing that was done unto me. I give you that permission now, Holy Spirit. And I say to this person or whoever these people are that have hurt me, I say right now, I forgive you. I forgive you. You don't deserve it, but I forgive you that you hurt me. I forgive you that you wrecked my life. I forgive you that you destroyed me. I forgive you the evil you did. And if it was yourself and you did something, I forgive myself for what I've done to hurt other people. I forgive myself, Lord. Now, Lord, I trust that you bring healing, Father God, to every vessel, Holy Spirit, completely full, fresh oil, Holy Spirit, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. Touch the heart, God, inner healing in every area, Father. Touch, touch, Holy Spirit. Bring healing, Lord God. Resolve this pain, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, fresh oil, new life, Father God. Resolve this pain, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. Fresh, fresh oil, Holy Spirit. Take every pain and dart out, Father God, that has come into the heart, Lord God. Pull it out, Holy Ghost. Pull it out, Holy Ghost. Make it well, Father God. Make it well. Every dart that has come into the heart, take it out, Holy Ghost. Let it go. Let it go. Let the pain out. Let it go. However that needs to be from you, let it go. Holy Spirit, fresh, fresh oil, fresh presence of your Spirit, Lord. That, Father God, you touch, 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 touch every area, Father God, that there be healing and a release of your holy presence, Father God, your inner healing, Father God, that goes deep down, Lord God, that no pain remains, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father. Holy Spirit, fresh, fresh oil, fresh, fresh oil, Holy Spirit, feel, feel the heart, the wounds, replace with your love, Lord God, your holy presence, your holy anointing, Father God, the ministry of your Spirit, Father God, that you are the God that heals us eternally, internally, Lord God, that you go inside, Lord God, of our minds and our thinking, Lord God, and you remove the ambushes that have been set up to destroy us because of it, Father God. Father God, we cover every thought of the mind, Father God, in the blood of Jesus Christ, Father God, that by your holy presence, Lord God, that you bring inner healing, Lord God, that, Father God, there would be no lack, Father God, in your holy presence. presence and your anointing to bring life and restoration, Lord. Restoration, Lord. Dig out the pain, Holy Ghost. Take it all out, Lord God, and close it up, Lord God, with your presence, Lord God. With your holy presence, Father God. Remove it, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. The child that was hurt inside of her, Holy God. Rise up, Holy Ghost. Heal the child, Father God. Heal the wounded child, the victim, Lord God. Heal her, Holy Ghost. Heal her that she is well, Lord God. Give her back her innocence, Lord God. Make it easy for her, Lord God. Help her grow up, Lord God. Help her grow up to the age she is today, Father God, that every area of her life be well. Holy Spirit, rise up, Holy Spirit. Make it well, mentally, physically, spiritually for her, Father. Make it well, Holy Spirit. Fresh oil from heaven, Father God. Heal her mind, Father God, of the memories, Lord God. Touch every brain cell, Holy Spirit, and cover it with your holy anointing, Father God. Fresh, fresh presence of your Holy Spirit, Father God. Fresh, fresh oil. Fresh, 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 fresh. I believe that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He'll never leave you in a place of misery. He'll always come through and bring healing to your life. He'll always do that for you, always restore you to who he called you to become. God is good and faithful. Hallelujah.
This being the third Sunday of the month, we're going to be receiving an offering for missions in just a moment. Now, I want to say this. If you know that you're not going to be here this evening, you cannot be here, and you want to give an offering into Shirley Beaver's ministry, I don't want to take three offerings, so this is our regular missions offering, and we need your support in missions. There's no question about that, to fulfill our obligations and do all the things. On the other hand, I feel badly that some of you may not be back tonight, may want to share in Shirley's ministry, and I want, so if you cannot be here tonight, I hope you'll be here. We're going to take an